Father, what we know not, teach us. What we have not, give us. And what we are not, please make us. For Christ's sake, amen. Please do take a seat. Well, I'm guessing like quite a few of us on New Year's Eve, I was sitting on the sofa, in this case with my wife and my parents-in-law, and we were scrolling through the news for a brief moment, and we saw that the Queen of Denmark, Queen Margrethe, was abdicating from next week, and that her son, Crown Prince Frederick, a man I'd never heard of, was becoming the new king. And one of the things that's probably kept a few of us interested in this story is the story about how Crown Prince Frederick met his Australian-born wife, Mary, because it's actually really normal. So she went to a bar in Sydney during the 2000 Sydney Olympics, and she was there with a friend, and they got chatting to this group of charming young people from Europe, and she met Crown Prince Frederick, and they hit it off. They had a good conversation, a bit of a joke about an open shirt or something like that. And she thought, this is an interesting man. This is a nice man. But here's what's striking about that. In that first interaction, she had absolutely no idea about his true identity. She had no idea what difference he could make and what difference he was going to make to her life. He'd appeared in her world, so to speak, but she'd misread him as just another handsome European man there for the sport. And it was only a bit later in the evening, I think, when someone came up to her and said, "Do you know who those people are? Do you know who that is?" That she realised who he was, that she saw that this man on the scene was more than he appeared. She saw him for who he was, and so she began to grapple with the difference that he might make to her life, and the rest is history. Epiphany, which we celebrate today, is all about key moments in the life of Jesus where what we wouldn't otherwise know about Jesus is revealed. And we'll start today with the moment described in our passage in John's Gospel, which came just after Jesus' baptism, when John the Baptist, in effect, he comes alongside us, and above the din of distraction, he whispers in our ear, "Do you know who this really is? Do you know what difference he's come to make to your life?" And here's why it's going to be worth listening to John the Baptist and having a new look at Jesus in the new year, because we could be standing in the doorway of the Christian faith, one foot through the door, unsure whether to cross the threshold. And we've been introduced to Jesus, and we actually know quite a lot about him, but maybe like Princess Mary in that Sydney bar, we're still missing something crucial about him, and missing something about the impact he could have on us. And even if we're committed Christians, and I know this personally, it's still possible for the clarity of what we believed about Jesus to just start to fade over time, a bit like one of those old family photos. So that leads to a fade in the joy that we feel in relating to him, and maybe also a fade in our expectations about what difference he might make for us in everyday life. So this morning we're going to focus on two things that John the Baptist reveals to us about Jesus. That Jesus is the Lamb who takes away our sin, and that Jesus is the baptizer who gives us his Spirit. So first, Jesus is the Lamb who takes away our sin. Imagine you're there. John has baptized us recently in the Jordan River, and now you're there. Maybe you're by the river's edge. You're about to be baptized by John yourself. And then John does that thing that's always annoying in conversation. He sort of looks past you out into the distance, and he says, "Look." And you turn around, and you see Jesus walking towards you. And John says, "The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Those words have formed the basis of a song sung at Holy Communion for over 1,300 years, the Agnus Dei. Why have those words been so precious to so many people for such a long time? Because they cut right to the heart of Jesus' identity and to the heart of what he came to do for us. Who is Jesus really today in 2024? Yes, he's our example. Yes, he's our teacher. Yes, he's our king. But Jesus also reveals him to be what we might not expect and might find harder to accept, our sacrifice. And those words, the Lamb of God, they draw on many Old Testament images, but perhaps principally the image of the Passover lambs. So those lambs, they died in the place of the Israelites while they were in slavery in Egypt so that the Israelites would live, so that God's judgment would pass over God's people. And John is saying, look, Jesus is the greater Passover lamb who at the cross, at the cost of his life, ensured God's judgment on our sin fell on him so that it might pass over us. Jesus became our self-sacrificing lamb, lovingly coming to take our place, bear the judgment we deserve, to also take away our sin. And now I'm slowing down for just a minute. We might have heard that quite a number of times and still either want to de-emphasize it or discount it. Some of you will know that during the COVID pandemic, during the lockdowns, my children challenged me to try and bake 100 cakes in 3 years. And I completely failed that, by the way. I think it was like 10 or something in the end. But one that I did bake was this lemon cake, where you had to put a bit of lemon rind just on the top of the icing, on the top of the cake, but also get some lemon zest and mix it into the cake mixture so that it kind of ran all the way through. And one reason that we can dislike this idea of Jesus coming as a sacrifice for our sins is that we can tend to think of sin as a little bit like the lemon rind on the top of the cake. It's just that little bit of say, impatience that we can see on the surface of our life, but surely God can just let it go. Surely if he doesn't like it, he can brush it off and take the rest of us. It's not the sort of thing that requires a costly sacrifice on our behalf. But the reality is that sin is more like the lemon zest that's run into the cake mix. It's that inclination to keep God out there, away from the core of our decisions, that kind of permeates through all of our life, that comes out in our thinking and our feeling and what we say and what we do. And it grieves the God who has a right to our love and our loyalty. And we can't make up for it ourselves because it's so much a part of ourselves. And it goes too deep to just be brushed aside. But Jesus is the Lamb of God who can take away our sin. In 1741, Handel wrote his musical masterpiece, The Messiah. I really enjoy The Messiah. I used to sing it as a chorister. I think its second part actually begins with the words in verse 29, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. But the first time The Messiah was ever performed, it was performed at a charity concert in Dublin. And it was so successful that 142 debtors in debtors' prison, with debts they couldn't pay themselves, were set free because of the proceeds. You can just imagine maybe being one of those prisoners and waking up the next morning to find out that somebody else had paid your debt for you and that you could go free, that the gates were open and you could walk out just as if you'd never had any debt in the first place. And that's the effect that the actual Messiah, his death, can have for us. He bore the cost of sin for any who'd ever trust him, so that in God's eyes, it's just as if we never sinned. And we're free to enjoy life with God now and into eternity. And notice that Jesus did this for the world. It's for all sorts of people without distinction. whatever shape our life has taken, nobody in this room, if they reach out to the Lamb of God, trusting that he died for them, nobody is going to be turned away. Nobody. So if you're standing at the door of Christian faith, here's a question maybe to ponder as the new year begins. Could I accept what Jesus did on the cross was for me? Could I take John's words on my lips and in the words of the Agnus Dei, call out, even maybe quite tentatively, O Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, have mercy on me. And if Jesus' sacrificial death in your place is precious to you, but maybe the joy of that has faded a little bit over time, then let's recenter ourselves on it this new year. J.C. Ryle, the Victorian bishop, he said that John's words there were like a star in the sky of Scripture. He said that they ought to be printed in great letters on the memory of every believer. Maybe this January we can commit those words in verse 29 to our memory. Maybe we can bring them out at the end of a long day when we feel that we haven't been all that we might have been, and we can treasure them, and we enjoy the freedom of them, and we can say, Jesus, you are the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, who takes away my sin. But John, he didn't only reveal that Jesus was the sin bearer, he also revealed that day at the Jordan that Jesus is the Spirit giver. He's the baptizer who gives us his Spirit. So verse 32, then John gave this testimony, I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. And then later, the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, the man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. At Jesus' baptism, John saw in some physical form, a bit like a dove or moving like a dove, he saw the Holy Spirit come and remain on Jesus. And John was told by God that this meant that Jesus was going to baptize not with water, but with the Spirit. Not with the sign, but with the substance. Sharing with others the Spirit that had been given to him. What does it actually mean to be baptized with the Holy Spirit? That sounds a little bit radical, a bit sort of out there. John is saying that Jesus is going to cover people with the Holy Spirit. He's going to pour his Holy Spirit out on people like rain pouring out onto dry ground, bringing new life, bringing new birth. When Jesus pours his Spirit onto somebody, they're brought to spiritual life. They're brought to repent and believe, and the Spirit helps them to grasp hold of Jesus' sacrifice for themselves so that we can go, his death for the world, that's also his death for me. So how do you know if you've been baptized with the Holy Spirit? You've heard the message that Jesus is the Lamb of God who died for the sin of the world, and you believe that message for you, and you've grasped hold of God's forgiveness. Whether that happened in some big dramatic kind of conversion moment, or whether it's something that you've believed is true as long as you can remember. To be a Christian is to be someone baptized with the Holy Spirit. And that has big implications for everyday life. Baptism with the Holy Spirit comes at the beginning of the Christian life, but it means that we then have the Holy Spirit for the whole of the Christian life, equipping us to live a life that could even be called holy. Equipping us to live a life with spiritual power behind it. And he's with every Christian, however ordinary we feel. I think I've mentioned before that some of, in our family, we have quite a lot of plants. What I haven't said before is that Zanny, my wife, is actually the driving force behind the plants. So I think there was one point last year we had one, and now we have about 7 or 8. And she watered them at first, and the seeds germinated and they began to grow. But she keeps watering them now diligently, and so they keep growing, and that life-giving source of water, it keeps flowing for them. And when Jesus baptizes us with his Holy Spirit, bringing us to spiritual life, bring us to faith in him, he doesn't remove his spirit. He continually renews his spirit on us. He continually waters us with his spirit. So that the gap between how we go about life in our shoes and how Jesus would go about if he was in our shoes, that gap can begin to get a little bit smaller. So that we can begin to grow a bit more like him. Like in Ezekiel 36 says, to follow his decrees and be careful to keep his law of love. And that spirit-fueled growth, it's not going to be easy. Unlike the taking away of our sins in God's sight, which is completed by Jesus without our involvement, which we only have to receive by faith, this growth in holiness, it does involve our participation as junior partners with the Spirit. It does require effort. And in a world where we're used to getting everything from TV to takeaways with just the press of a button, that is going to go against the grain. And sometimes I speak with believers who feel particularly powerless, particularly defeated by maybe an area of sin in their life, and they don't feel that it could ever change. And I know what that feels like. But if we're Christians, we've been baptized with the Spirit. And because Christ continually waters us with his Spirit, we're no longer captive to sin. We'll still sin all through our lives, both consciously and unconsciously, but we can dislodge particular patterns of sin. Even if some take longer to root out than others, even if they end up being more complex than we expected. Spiritual growth often looks very small and it looks very weak. But let's not despise the little steps. In 2024, if you're a Christian, because Christ has baptized you with his Spirit, you can make progress. You can become a little bit more holy. You'll see the work of the Spirit that Jesus has given you when maybe you feel prayerless and you haven't got a clue what you're going to say. And in some ways you'd rather not pray, but you put down your phone for just a minute or two on the tube and you pray anyway. And you'll see the work of the Spirit that Jesus has given you when you're overworked and you have far too much to do and someone somewhere is slowing things down for you, but you don't use your position, maybe as mum or as manager, to take it out on them. You choose to use it to give to them instead. Maybe just give a smile or an encouragement or a pause before you speak. This new year, John's pointing at Jesus and he's saying, do you see who this really is? Do you see what difference he has and he will make to you? When we inevitably know some failures in 2024, and we will, we can turn to Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away our sin. And when we see growth, and we can give thanks to Jesus as the one who baptized us with his Spirit, and then we can boldly ask him for more. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away our sin, and he is the baptizer who gives us his Spirit. We thank you that you have revealed those things to us through John at his baptism. Please help us to rely on his sacrifice and to depend on his Spirit every single day. In Jesus' name, amen.